We're all familiar with the catchphrase by the Verizon commercial, "Can you hear me now?" Many cell phone companies promise that they will give a most minute than anyone else. It's great to have a most minute. However, if your cell phone continues to drop the call, that most minute doesn't do good. So that's why there's a tremendous competition among the cell phone companies to raising up the cell phone towers around the community of the United States. But the connection between God and you, the born-again Christians, through prayers, don't have a problem with that kind of connection they experience with the cell phone companies. There's no activation fees. There's no monthly charge. There's no over-the-limit charge or out-of-home area charge. Or even the upgrade for the better and new method of a prayer. It's always consistent. The first man, Adam, the way he prayed to God, and the last living being, the born-again Christian on this earth, will have the same method, same privilege. The best part of this prayer, the communication between God and man through prayer, best part is that God answers every single call. There's no secretary who screened the calls. There's no answering machine or the voicemail that we have to leave a message for God. Through prayer, whether you are in this church setting in a good place or most horrible place, it really doesn't matter. Soon as you call out the name of God, He is all ears. He is giving you full attention. So I can call out to the name of God in my office and pray. When I pray, He gives me full attention. At the same time, all the way around the world, all over the world, and millions of people can pray to Him, He gives individually full attention. And some might say, that's impossible. That's right, that's impossible. That's why He's God, you ain't. Right? In other words, He can do multitasking. He's beyond anybody's imagination. So some of you are thinking, God must not be like my husband. He cannot do two things at the same time. Well, that's a man thing, okay? We cannot chew and walk same time. Let's have a word of prayer before we go to the study. Heavenly Father, how often we get guilty feeling because we don't think that we don't pray enough, we don't pray right way. So our hearts open to receive your teaching. Teach us to pray like Jesus, that we may become man and woman of God and man and woman of prayer, just like Jesus. That we may know your heart. We may follow your heart. And we also pray for our troops around the world. We are asking you to watch over them. Put the hedge of protection around them. And keep them safe. We also lift up our law enforcement officers around these communities and firefighters. We are also asking you to protect them. Especially from the situation they are facing every day, that life-threatening situation. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we go into the verse-by-verse study, we need to ask ourselves that required complete honest answer for ourselves. We have to ask. God already knows what the answer is going to be. So question number one. Are you satisfied with your prayer life? I'm not talking about the prayer that requires long hours. That's not required. But are you happy, satisfied with your prayer life? Yes or no? Okay? Don't raise your hand and saying yes or no, just for your own. You can write it down on the sermon notes there. Question number two, when you pray, are you confident that the Lord is listening to your prayer, and after you finish prayer, the Lord is capable to do what you ask? Do you believe that? Yes or no? Number three, when somebody asks you to pray for them, do you always remember to pray? Do you always remember to pray for them? Yes or no? Number four, when you pray, do you only want to be seen or heard by God, or because you are not concerned about impressing others with your prayers? Yes or no? Now, if your answer is all yes, you need to come down, teach us instead of me. If your answer is kind of half and half, you need to pay attention of this teaching. If your answer is all no, I need to see you in my office after the service. Jesus is going to teach us how to pray in a proper way. And disciples wanted to know. So once we learn how to pray, we don't have to ask God, can you hear me now, God? God always hears our prayer. So we start at the verse 1 of chapter 11. Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he sees that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. I'm sure it was something to watch Jesus praying, and the disciple wanted to learn how to pray like he did. And I'm sure we should learn the same way Jesus prayed. Folks, prayer is so simple enough that a child can get the full attention from God. But it is so great that the mightiest man of God or strongest theologian cannot truly master the prayer. With a childlike faith, child can speak to God without any hindrance. However, we adults trying to complicate everything. Jesus never taught the disciples how to preach or how to teach the Word of God. Rather, he taught them how to pray. To know how to speak to God is far more important than how to speak to man. Because no power with man, but there is a tremendous power with God. And that is the first thing. Let's move down to the verse 2. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into the temptation, but deliver us from evil one. This prayer is known as Lord's Prayer. This is a format. Listen, please. This is format for us to use. It's not a secret formula. It's not the strongest, most powerful prayer. We can just whip it out when we are in a difficult situation. Prayer is like many aspects of our Christian work. We need to be taught. We need to cultivate this thing. It doesn't come naturally to us. So we need to learn how to pray properly. First one, what I notice in verse 2, note that word, please. Our Father in heaven. His noun is a Father in heaven. It's not the Master in heaven, or that will start with the friends in heaven, so we kind of make ourselves as equal as God. Or the Master in heaven, that we make him as a master and we are his slave. Or we don't call him King in heaven, that he is the king when we are the subject of his. But we call him Father. That means we have this special relationship. We are his children. He is our daddy. Calling him father demonstrates the privileged relationship. In the Old Testament, you don't find anywhere the great man and woman of God have that kind of relationship, that calling him father. Always is a God, fearful God, because they did wrong things often. Jesus opened up that precious relationship for us. Great path. Next phrase we see is, hallowed be your name. What is the hallowed be your name? I'm sure you guys use that word very often, right? Hallowed is not kind of the word we use often. It means that it's attitude about it and conveys two ideas, to make it holy and set apart for holy use, and to respect greatly. In other words, it's holy is your name. The phrase, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This gives kinds of going against the grain of some of the Christians. Because those people, some of the Christians were taught by their Bible teachers that it is God's will to fulfill your will on earth. Folks, that is wrong doctrine. Prayer is not a tool to get what we want from God. It is a method to get God's will accomplished in us and all around us. Let me put it in a different way. Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, rather getting hold of God's willingness. We cannot demand God, tell him what to do. He's not bellhop, as I said before. By now, you might have a question in your heart. Why do we need to start our prayer with a praise and adoration or the acknowledgement of God, who God is? Does his ego need to be stroked every time we pray to him? No, of course not. Whether we praise him or not, guess what? God is God. Don't think that because we don't praise him, he become all of a sudden demoted to angel, maybe demoted to human. No, it doesn't work that way. God is God. Oprah Winfrey can say whatever she want to say, and she said, well, all gods are the same God. No, our God is not the same God as Allah or the Buddha. Our God is one true God, is not false God. I'm sorry to hear from the President Bush's mouth that all gods are the same. We worshiping the same God. No, we ain't worshiping the same God. Christianity God is one true God, and all others are false God. You don't like it? Sorry, this book says otherwise. This book tells what it is. While we praise him, while we acknowledge who he is, his sovereignty and power, we get to have a right perspective of the situation we are facing. Does it mean we have to recite long and flowery word and you know how wonderful he is before we pray to him? There is a saying that among the Jewish rabbis, whoever is long in prayer is heard. One of the prayers that starts with this kind of phrase, I'll just read it to you. Blessed, praised, and glorified, exalted, honored, and magnified, allowed be the name of the Holy One. They have to say that kind of thing before they go anywhere else. If I went to my daddy, said, blessed, praised, and honorable, and honored, and magnified, allowed be the name of the Holy One, my daddy will look at me, and with that, only daddy can give the eyes, that you know, that look. He will look at me like this, did you take your medication today? It doesn't work that way between the father and son's and father and daughter's relationship. Here's another important point. Some of you might disagree, but listen carefully, please. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. How can we be his sons unless we are born into his sonship? Do you know what I'm talking about? We are born again so that we can become his sons and daughters. Unless you are born again, you do not have that relationship. Do you understand where I'm going with this? So, in other words, when the non-believers who do not have a father and son relationship, when he or she pray, because the Father in heaven is not his father or her father, he does not listen. Can he hear prayer? Yes. But would he listen? No. That means if you are not born again Christian, your prayer bounces off the ceiling and it doesn't go any farther. God hears it, but God does not listen to you. Let me put it in a different term. As you know, I have a child who is, I call her a child because she's my child, even though she's 27. And when she talked to me, Daddy, I pretty much stop. Yes. Usually, can I have this? And no. It costs me money. I said, do you think money grew out of a tree? That kind of thing. However, when she talked to me, I listened. But somebody else, some other person's child come to me, and whom I don't know from Adam, and comes and say, I want you to buy me this. I want you to get me this. And I look at him and say, go see your daddy. Why do I need to listen? Does it mean I don't hear him? I hear him. Do I listen to him? No. Why? Because there's no relationship. Do you understand what I'm saying? Unless you're born again Christian, your prayer is heard by God, but he doesn't listen to your prayer. And some people say, well, good example is Jack Nicholson. I'm sure you heard my story before. I heard him from his own mouth, and he was receiving a word. He said, I pray every day. Then he paused. He said, I don't know whom I pray to, but I pray every day. I thought, what a sorry situation he is in. He doesn't know whom he's praying to, but he's praying that somebody would hear him. I know whom is listening to me when I, as soon as I said, Father, or Jesus. When I need empowerment from the Holy Spirit, I say, Holy Spirit, empower me. Refill me with your power. I know whom I pray to exactly because I have that father-son relationship. Does it mean the Father in heaven never listened to any sinner's prayer? He does. There's one prayer he listened. That is sinner's prayer. When the non-believer comes to Jesus, come to Father and say in his prayer, I want to receive Jesus Christ into my heart. Guess what? Father is there all over him. And he is all ear to listen to him, and he will give the Holy Spirit in his heart to become his son. Second thing I find is supplication. In verse 3, give us this day our daily bread. See, many times, let's face it, let's admit that our prayer has become nothing more than wish list. It starts with a wish list. I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. It's like I'm taking my child to the toy store when she was 5, 6. She goes down the aisle, I want this, I want this, I want this. Don't Don't you feel that way when you go to the grocery store with your kid? So they want everything, and we want everything from God. And then we just buy, and we go on. Folks, we are not in the position to demand anything from God. We need to come to Him humbly, respectfully, with our need, not greed. Third thing I find is in spiritual cleansing. Let's go back to the verse 4. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who indebted to us. This portion teaches us about the spiritual cleansing, and what food is to our body is a forgiveness is to our soul. To receive cleansing of sin, we must simply ask for it. But our appeal must be welled up in a broken and repentant heart. One that willing to forgive, and also, as well as receiving forgiveness. We cannot say, Father, forgive me for my sins, and then turn around and to our brothers and sisters, I'm not going to forgive your sin because you hurt my heart. Do you agree? If we want to be forgiven by God, we have to willingly forgive others. And if we don't do that, what does God tell us to do? Go deal with that thing before you come to me. Fourth thing I find is a daily purity. Again, a second half of verse 4. And do not lead us into the temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. When I read this, if I'm not understanding whole thing in context, it sounds like God is the one who is leading us into the temptation. That's not so. Keep your finger right there, and let's go to James chapter 1, verse 13, please. James 1, 13. I know I didn't give that James 1, 13 to Tim Kelly up there, so it's my fault. It's not his fault. Don't hit him. Right after Hebrews, James 1, 13, please. Let no one say that he is tempted. I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. What verse 4 means is that they do not allow us to be led into temptation. It's a prayer for God's protection from the Satan's insidious traps. Each day, Jesus is saying the prayer, pray that the Lord will remind us a vulnerable area and guarding our eyes, guarding our heart, and keep our heart and body pure. If you surround yourself with the garbage, that garbage will seep into your heart. You know what they said? Garbage in, garbage out. True prayer is always offered knowing how weak we are. How weak we are and how much we need the power of God. Folks, temptation is literally a test that permitted by the Lord for our character training. Not always solicitation from Satan himself. God has promised that we will not receive temptation we cannot handle, according to 1 Corinthians 10:13. He gave us the trials and tests that we can handle. So let's go to the verse 5 of chapter 11, book of Luke again. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from the within and say, do not trouble me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, note the word persistence, underline that please, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, it will be given to you, seek, you will find, knock, it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and he who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. In this parable, Jesus did not say that God is like this grouch neighbor. In fact, he is opposite of this grouch neighbor. God is generous, always willing to give a blessing to his children. Jesus teaches us to be persistent when we pray. The Greek word for the persistence means the shamelessness. This guy is shamelessly pounding the door and then trying to get the attention of his neighbor so that he can get the bread for his friend. Continuously pounding the door until his neighbor opened the door and gave him bread. He doesn't care about the social grace. He doesn't care whether he woke up the whole town. Why would he do that? Because to him, not only to him, to his neighbor, if you come to my home, I don't take care of you well, it becomes not only my shame, it becomes a whole town shame. And so they don't want to deal with that, so it's okay, here's a bread, go back to your home and be quiet. That's the concept. Do we approach God with the same kinds of endurance, or do we just knock on the door, God? Okay, he didn't say, let's go home. Or do we just pray, Lord, do you hear me? I guess you're not listening, so I want to ask. No, God says, ask me. Ask, it will be given to you. Knock, it will be open to you. Seek, you will find. Why he wants us to be persistent? Why does he want us to be persistent in our prayer? It is because the Lord has a heart of hearing, or does he have a selective hearing like some of us do? No. While we asking him persistently, it makes us to depend on him more than ever before. Rather than our own power or our own intelligence. So let's move down again to the verse 13. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a dish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? That's cold. Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give a good gift to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? When God's people when God's people pray, God's reputation is at stake. If he doesn't take care of his people, it will be a problem. The way he takes care of his children is a witness to the world whether he can be trusted or not. God specially delights in giving the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. So if you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm not talking about speaking in tongues, don't even go there. That's a side product. Being filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can be equipped to do the work of God. You cannot do work of God with your own power, you will get tired, you will be burned out. But if you are being filled with the Holy Spirit, you can work for Him day and night without getting tired. I'm not talking about physically tired, spiritually tired, and burned out. To do that, you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, just simply ask. Again, let's go back to James chapter 1, please. Again, this is not something I gave to the Tim, just off my head. Verse 2. Oh, no. Let's go down to verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all liberally, he gives to all liberally and without reproach, it will be given to him, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who is doubt is like a wave of sea driven and tossed by the wind. Verse 7, and let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man and unstable in all his ways. So when you pray to God, you expect that God will give you the good things from Him, the perfect will of God. So when you pray to Him, do not ask for your will be done on earth through God's power. But ask God, His will be done on earth through you. So what would be the application to pray like Jesus? Number one, talk to God as to a loving father. Approach to Him with the attitude of awe and respect. Remember, He's not your friend that you can be equal with Him. He's not your master, you have become a slave. And He's not your king as though you are His subject. He's your daddy. He's your father in heaven. I heard that when I was in Israel, that this little child running around and calling their father, Abba, Abba, Abba. That means daddy. That's what we are supposed to do. We can spiritually crawl up in his lap and calling him daddy. We are privileged to have that kind of relationship because of Jesus Christ. Second thing we need to do is submit to Him, His kingdom plan. Not your kingdom, not my kingdom. Thirdly, bringing Him your requests daily. Your need, not greed. Fourthly, depends on Him everything. Depends on Him for everything. The necessity of life, spiritual cleansing, and purity, and protection from the evil ones. It can be physically, spiritually, and emotionally. Fifth application I find is that don't forget to be persistent. Remember, persistence in Greek word definition is shamelessness. Sixth application is a keep on what? Trusting Him. If you don't trust Him, He will not bring the result to you. Folks, now you know how to pray. I'm not talking about thank you for the food, let's chow down. That's not what I'm talking about. You need prayer time with your Father in heaven.